Good morning. It's a Monday. Boy, the 29th of January. Joining us this morning is Mr. Arkley from Points Unknown. Good morning, sir. Are you ready for your question this morning?
Yes, sir.
We are in the category of politics and history.
All right.
I thought I'd just give that dramatic pause. You're going to love this one. Why do we say that justice is blind?
Doesn't that come from some type of Greek? At least that's who the person who holds the scale seems to be. That person, was it Adelphia? I forget.
The statue?
Yeah, that's it.
Close. At least you got in the right, well, you may have gotten in the right time zone. The Egyptian pharaohs, concerned that courtroom theatrics might influence the administration of justice, established the practice of holding trials in darkened chambers with absolutely no light. That way, the judge wouldn't be moved by anything but the facts. It's this principle that inspired Lady Justice, the well-known statue of a woman in a blindfold holding the scales of justice that is often found outside of contemporary courtrooms.
Wow.
Pretty exciting, huh? Actually, that one...
Yeah, I think that's wonderful.
That makes sense.
Great stuff.
Yeah.
It does. And it's something we could honestly use a little more of.
Yeah, darkened courtrooms?
Darkened courtrooms and blind justice instead of
some of the other
justice as defined by a party. I don't like where we are right now.
How do you interpret what's been going on in New York City with a past president? Is that legit? Is it straight up? Is it pure politics? Is it something else?
It's pure mindless power politics. It's very discouraging.
So why?
It's a coordinated effort. Don't ever think it's this whole thing on Trump was not contemplated and coordinated. I feel just as offended if they were doing it to a Democrat, and it will lead to things being done to Democrats.
Yeah, it's almost a tit for tat kind of thing.
Yeah. And this is where we find ourselves. It's terrible. And I'm saddened by it, but it's where we find ourselves right now.
So how do you see that cycle being broken?
It'll break because it breaks. And what do I mean by that? I mean what they're doing now is not sustainable without a revolution. Because people... You see, what you've done now is, I'd say 70% of the Democrats don't like what's being done, and 100% of Republicans, except for Nikki Haley, don't like what's being done. And we want consistency, consistent application of the law, of the rules, and that's not what's being done, and it's very corrosive to our trust. And once you lose the trust, bad things happen.
Well, and it takes a very, very, very extended and prolonged period of time to regain that trust also.
I think that's right. I think when we start trusting again, will happen more quickly than anyone thinks. I think it will take some great people on the left to say what's being done is wrong, and it stops now. And it will stop that quickly.
Who do you see on the national playing field that might be that individual?
I don't know. Certainly a Joe Lieberman, if he were in a position of power, might. Joe Manchin does not have the platform anymore because no one on the right listens to him, and the ones on the left despise him. I guess I don't see it right now, and it will happen. I talked to state legislators in California, and it'll happen. And the right did something here in Louisiana where we were required to add an additional black district, which makes sense in a state with 34% African-American. There ought to be more than one seat that's majority African-American. So now it's two, and it's basically everyone likes ratios, and it's a good quota system. But in doing so, the governor basically took a political opponent's Republican rhino, who most people may know, he was an ally of Kevin McCarthy, Garrett Graves. They took out his district, and they made it African-American and basically put a bullet in him politically. And it was hardball, and just as I say, I like equal application of the law and rules. That one kind of has me scratching my head and not particularly wild about the way it was done. So
the process or the outcome?
Both. Both. I mean, they were forced to come up with a second African-American district, which in and of itself doesn't make sense to me. I mean, sometimes I wish we could just cube up geographic areas rather than wander around looking for districts that meet a certain criterion. But that's the reapportionment rules that we find ourselves under our U.S. Constitution.
Well, at least that makes allowances for shifting populations, which will be intriguing to find out with the next census, census, where this new population that has been coming across the borders settle in.
Well, it remains to be seen that they're going to be allowed to count them. That's a great constitutional issue.
We'll use that one as a pregnant pause. Not that pregnancy is in your life at this moment, but we'll pause anyway. It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about chicken of the sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Rob Arkley through the, we can't even say Alexander Graham Bell anymore, can we?
I don't think so.
Huh. Well, how about just through it, good old American ingenuity? How's that? Does that one work?
Yep.
All right.
All right.
Now, I saw something, I think it was Politico over the weekend. Somebody had it. It was the California debate for the U.S. Senate. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that the one where Steve Garvey nailed Adam Schiff? Yeah.
Well, yeah, but he also kind of seemed like he was lost in a whole bunch of stuff, and Schiff was just kind of there. It was like they were attacking Garvey rather than attacking Schiff. And I thought that to be intriguing, because you would think that there would be a spin on the not the apparent leader, rather than taking out those on the peripheral.
Well, I don't know what to make of it. I do know that Adam Schiff has brought great disgrace on himself by lying, but I guess that's his tactic. It's a shame that voters in California don't hold him responsible for that.
Yeah, well, given an opportunity, we'll find out. Hey, what do you think about the LA Times and some of the challenges that they're experiencing now with this new ownership? Is that just endemic of the newspaper industry in general?
I think so. It's a super hard business. The options for advertising now are so unbelievable. And through the internet, Facebook, et cetera, that their natural advantage is gone. When was the last time you read a handheld newspaper?
Whoa. I couldn't even tell you which one it was.
See, Yeah, and so you're sure as heck not going to pay for an ad in that paper.
Yeah. Well, now most of them are going with the digital side as well as the print side. But it was interesting, you know, to me, just in general as a consumer, it would be like the New York Post or the New York Times dealing with the same challenges, and I'm sure that they are, struggling for relevancy, you know, from something.
Well,
that,
I think the New York Times made a really super wise move to technology. They were first, and it was awkward, it was awful, but they got there. Then the Wall Street Journal. I don't think the LA Times made that type of pivot. And so, does anyone read the Times Standard anymore? I just don't know if they do. I think, you know, is there room for another blog like Lost Coast Outpost in Eureka? Sure there is. Would people pay for it? Yeah, I think they would. Am I going to do it? I don't know.
That's the natural extension of that whole line of logic there, buddy.
Yeah, well, it is. And I haven't done it yet, but I do think we need a new voice other than the Lost Coast Outpost. The Times Standard has made themselves functionally irrelevant, and they went to a pay model that subscription model that I don't think is working. It's not even really local news. So information is getting to be trickier and trickier.
And vetted information is even more challenging. And I think that's the, if I was to make a comment, that is the one thing that seems to have gone by the wayside, is that we're not getting multiple confirmations of things. We're just going, and it's more of an editorial. That whole industry, not one particular website or another, tends to be more leaning into editorial. And I'm kind of sensitive to that now with the death of Charles Osgood last week. You know, it was very, very clear that he was not a news presenter. He was a commentator. And we don't seem to, that seems to blur these days.
Oh, I don't think it blurs. I think it's all advocacy-based these days. And the left has numbers on its side, but don't underestimate the right. The right has its share of advocacy sites as well. It's unfortunate. And you're right. It is hard to parse accurate information.
Well, and sure, it's possible. You go to five or six different locations and see if everybody, you know, across the political spectrum, if everybody's kind of saying the same thing with a spin, well, that's one thing. But who of us has enough time to go through five or six websites looking for the same type of information to feel comfortable that we might have an inkling of what's actually going on?
You're right. It's just, we're living in an interesting time. It's hard. It's choppy. It's going to be choppy for another 5-7 years. And we just have to pull through the other side. It's not pretty right now, but we'll get there. On that, I'm comfortable.
Well, depends on where there is now, doesn't it?
Where is?
Yeah. We did get some good information late last week, or at least economic good information. About $500 million was earmarked for Humboldt Bay with the out of the feds, with the development out on the spit with the windmill stuff. That's pretty reassuring for a lot of us that at least somebody's paying attention to us out there.
I thought Huffman did a good job on getting that through. I don't quite understand where the matching money's going to come from. That's an awful lot of money.
That's a big match. Big match.
Yeah.
We'll be back in a sec. It's 8:30.
Stand by playback.
And now,
live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I can't
keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:34. We're back talking shop this morning with Rob Arkley. Rob, the concept of this huge announcement last week, this $400 million for Humboldt Bay development, it sounds great, but, you know, it's kind of almost like a little Hansel and Gretel for me. You know, come here, kids, we've got some candy for you. Uh-oh. You know, red flags pop up all over the place. What's your impression of what that is all about?
Well, where's the match going to come from, Bri? That's my thing. And we quickly picked up the phone and called the harbor and said, can individual projects around the bay qualify for a part of that $400 million if we show the ability to match? And no, can't do it, but maybe you can apply for other grants. So I don't know the structure. I do know the state of California. I don't see them being a realistic match of $500 million these days. I just don't quite understand the structure and who's expected to play. It would have been nice had the congressman told us how he envisioned it working. It's one thing to have the money, but what's it? It's great for infrastructure, but who else is in the pie? I just don't understand.
Yeah, that whole situation, seeing that development, you know, because we've got the offshore lease dollars. Is that where this $400 million came from? Is it just kind of like a return of those dollars back into the community, or is this in addition to those that went to the Fed that might come back to us?
Well, that's a great question, and right now, we're awaiting guidance, I think.
It's pretty new. It was last week, so I'm sure things haven't settled.
It would be nice if the Harbor District knew, since they applied for it. How do they contemplate the match?
Good point.
So right now, we're living in a vacuum, which ties nicely back to the news issue that you and I talked about earlier.
Fair enough. What's got your attention out there these days? Interest rates are kind of static. Inflation is okay. The situation that's going on in the Middle East, certainly with the deaths over the weekend of U.S. military and the injury of, I think they're at 6 now. That's got to be a little concerning. You think that's going to be a linchpin, or do you think that the U.S. is going to step back?
It is impossible for me to predict what in the world they're going to do in the Middle East. From what I understand, the Sunnis, meaning Saudi Arabia, Jordan, are contemplating being the watchdog in what will be basically a DMZ in the Gaza area. So that, I think, would be positive if you have Muslim, regulating Muslim. I'm more concerned about the fundamental invasion that's going on at our southern and northern borders and what we're going to do to remedy it, because I can't see how what they're doing is sustainable. I know their one thing is, I was talking to a Democrat strategist, and their whole strategy is to make universal suffrage, and so that they can vote no matter what, whether they're citizens, legal or illegal, aliens, etc.
Well, that's goofy, isn't it?
Well, it's their goal, and I would be loath to bet against Democrats achieving their macro goals these days. They seem to have done a pretty good job. I think Adam Schiff's first thing is he wants to change the number of U.S. senators and include Puerto Rico and D.C. He then wants to expand the Supreme Court, and so he can get control of that. I mean, there's a strategy, and if we all say that's nuts, I don't think that is the governing structure as to what they want to do and what they will do. I mean, who would have ever thought ballot harvesting would be legal?
Yeah, but, I mean, who would think that a non-citizen could vote for a country's... that just... Okay, I'm locking up on it.
I think a lot of us are locking up on it, but do not expect anything other than that effort. It is rare. You know, Michael Schellenberger, who's made a lot of national, international press regarding his what happened in the election and the counting and that, and Twitter, the censorship of Twitter. You know, he started in Humboldt County. I don't know if... Oh, absolutely. He was involved in the big PL fight, and I actually worked with him to get Gallegos elected the first time. And so, and I did say, and he was a snapping angry enviro in those days, and he now has come back to about the most sensible middle that I can imagine, and I'm gratified because I told him one day in our living room, I said, Michael, you're too smart to stay as one-sided and liberal as you are. Keep questioning yourself and keep trying to find a true north. And he even got kind of mad at me there, and I, but he's had a wonderful evolution. Unlike some of the other local angries, you know, Larry Glass, et cetera, who are still just snapping angry, but I never thought they would evolve because I don't see a lot of collective intellect there. And so, Schellenberger's been fun to watch.
So what is his take on the border issue and some of these other issues? Are they going to be primary voting decision perspectives, or are those are just kind of noise on the side?
Michael thinks the environmental lack of science and climate change is nothing other than politics. He thinks there's no science backing it up, and he's kind of fun to listen to in those situations. What did he say about the border? I can't speak to what he said. I suppose you could Google Schellenberger border, and he might have a say. But fundamentally, what's happening is as the rule of law breaks down, fundamental to the left is chaos, and that's what the left is causing in the United States right now. And I wonder if anyone understands why they're doing it. I mean, what good is coming out of chaos? I guess it foments revolution. I hope not, but it's certainly not a solid path.
No, probably just opportunity. Do you see that the Democratic Party as we know it today is starting to fissure and will split?
They, by definition, are a really accurate predictor of, they are flock people. They follow the leader, and if the leader's far left, that's who they follow, and they don't question a great deal. 12% of the population in the United States is African American. Right now, they are following the leader just in lockstep. 16% is Hispanic, and it'll be much higher than that if nothing is done about the invasion and deportation. They tend to be pretty good flock followers. And then you have the white suburban demographic, and they just tend to be college educated and live in their own la-la land of the world. I associate with the workers of the world, and I don't see the Democrat Party even thinking about the workers of the world anymore.
Well, Biden was in Detroit, wasn't it Detroit early last week, and was getting the UAW
support. The UAW,
but that's different than the membership. That's the labor board.
The UAW president said, "Don't confuse our endorsement." He said the vast majority of our workers are going to support the Republican candidate because they're following the money and not following the politics.
So why would he even either make that statement or endorse or not endorse someone? I mean, it would seem like he's just stepping in it either way.
Well, he's a hardcore extremist who's taken an interesting negotiating tactic, but he's fundamentally a leftist in his redistribution and envy of politics. And so I wouldn't confuse him with the worker. I don't think he was never a worker. He's just a leader, an agitator for the union.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:45.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:49. We're back talking shop this morning with Rob Barkley. So, Rob, as we are here kind of starting the early political season, Nikki Haley's, I guess, the only one that's there. And there was a read that I heard yesterday, and I don't know if it was Bill Cunningham or if it was Hewitt, that was saying that the longer that Haley stays in and keeps punching, the more respect that Trump is developing for her. What do you think about that line of logic? Is that something possible? Do you think she could be VP Timber?
I don't know. I haven't run into many politicians as blindly ambitious as she is during my time. I really don't think she stands for much of anything other than Nikki. Now, it may be that Trump and she are a wonderful fit based on that standard. I don't know.
Well, who else do you think that could be potential running mate material? You think Tim Scott or DeSantis? I mean, they after trying to blow him up, they came over really quickly and were accepted.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be DeSantis. They're from the same state, and so it creates legal issues. I don't think it would be Tim Scott. I think it probably maybe a Kristi Noem, maybe the governor Huckabee Sanders from
Arkansas.
The governor of Arkansas. Some people are saying Flynn because we're in a military time. Me, I'd like someone with an abacus who can balance the budget.
Well, what about the fella, oh, I never really got his name, from the Dakotas? Do you think he has enough juice?
No.
He's proven himself. But
yeah, Burgum is a brilliant businessman, but I wouldn't bet on him being a logical candidate. You see, really, we overestimate in our world the value of a vice president. They've got to check a general box like Kamala Harris did. But I think right now Biden's saying, damn it. What am I going to do about her?
What about private sector? Do you think that there's a potential for Trump to dip in? Not an Elon Musk, but somebody of that ilk?
You mean maybe a General Flynn?
Okay.
Because he comes from military, and it's no question we're living in uncertain times. I mean, right now, there's just so much time and so much static out there. I don't think the Democrats are happy with the way their Trump strategies worked out, in the sense that most women are offended by this litigation criminalization strategy. It's not fair, and they're not doing it fairly. The New York case where they're going to bar him from doing business, you know, he repaid all those loans. I just don't get it. But it's not a trial by peers. It's a trial by advocates. And so...
makes it for an interesting stew. How's that? We'll leave it with a food analogy.
All right.
Keep dancing. Thanks for your time this morning. All right, bud.
Thanks.
See everybody tomorrow. Bye-bye.